This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, you don't have to be beautiful.
6 years, man. Can you believe it?
Oh, it's today?
6 years today we lost him. And David Bowie was in 2016.
Wow, 6 years. That flew.
Well, now you brought everybody down. Let's bring everybody up now.
There you go.
By bringing in the great Alan Hahn, you can listen to Alan and Bart Scott on Bart and Hahn from noon to 3 every Monday through Friday right here on 98.7 ESPN. And we welcome him to the festivities. Hi, Alan.
Fellas, how we doing?
We're doing okay. We're doing okay. Better than the Nets. You watch that game closely. What do you take out of it? I mean, what's the most disturbing thing?
Well, the most disturbing thing, obviously, is meltdowns in two straight games now. Games that you thought were winnable games, they very easily could be up 2-0 in this series. And that's the frustrating thing to watch. Just when you love basketball and you love great play and great players, it just feels like on the net side of things, you see just brain lock down the stretch on several decisions. And also with them offensive with just no creativity at all, they're leaving it all on the star players. Michael, I heard the early part of the show. I think you nailed it. It's exactly what we're seeing. This is what they wanted. They didn't want Kenny Atkinson. They didn't want a hard-nosed coach that was going to make them watch film and, you know, put them through practice and set them up and have them do things that during the regular season that they'd be prepared for now that they're in the postseason. They didn't want that. So this is what you get. So I ask this question. Do you blame Steve Nash for being – not prepared to coach, to call a timeout, to make decisions on his own, to make adjustments? Or do you blame Kyrie and KD because that's what they wanted?
No, I completely get that. He's got zero coaching experience going into last year. And I thought, we saw it before with LeBron, with Tyronn Lue, and we certainly saw it with Spoelstra. Those guys were assistants for a long time and then got the opportunity to be a head coach and won a championship. Why was it him? You could have brought an experienced guy in and told him, listen, just don't coach me. But you still got to coach everybody else. You still got to come up with plays. You still got to play defense in the fourth quarter, especially in the playoffs, Alan. So why was it Steve Nash as opposed to somebody with at least some experience?
Well, Kyrie kind of explained it when he talked about wanting someone at their level. I mean, he had a lot of passive-aggressive comments when Nash got the job about how Kenny Atkinson didn't play in the NBA and maybe wasn't at their level as a player who could understand them at that level. There's just something from those comments. But, you know, if we're gonna kill Jason Garrett for years in Dallas for being basically a cheerleader on the sideline, all he did was clap. You know, a lot of fans get all over Aaron Boone for you know, only saying positive things and never really ripping into players like sometimes that needs to happen. If you're going to criticize those guys, you got to criticize Steve Nash. And I'll say this part, too. I do think, though, during the game, it's one thing. He's a two-time MVP. He's been a guy who's been to Western Conference Finals. He's played in huge games. He understands how the league works. You're going to tell me that in your postgame, your comments are going to be basically just saying how we've got to be better because they're doing this to, you know, their defense has been this and that. And they have more experience as a group, which I don't want to hear that excuse anymore. He keeps going back to that. Instead of flipping over the table, pounding the table, and saying, my star can't be officiated like this. They're not letting him move out there. I mean, get at least, if anything, take the fine, pay it, and know that you're sending a message for game three. When we go home, this can't keep going. He's got to be able to move on the perimeter. They're not letting him get to spots. They're getting away with too much physically against arguably the best player in the game. And I've never seen that before in NBA history. I can't believe this is happening. Like, do something along that lines that at least it sends a message for game three. And your players also know that you very much have their back. That's lacking, too. That is also coaching.
That's a good point.
That's something that Pat Riley and Phil Jackson did to a level of expertise that we can't even imagine. They
Absolutely.
Worked the officials even when they weren't on the court. It was amazing. And they got results.
And I'll tell you what. And you know what, Michael? All of the criticism that Aaron Boone gets, he did have the savages in the box moment, which was an incredible moment for him to go. There are times you see him. He gets tossed. He goes out there and
argues
umpire. I mean, You've got to do that as a coach. And Nash, instead, is just so passive, like in his post game about, well, you know, they're just a more experienced group. They've been together more than we have. We are, like, stop using that excuse, man. It's the playoffs, and you are expected to win because you have talent.
Well, I said the winner of game two is going to win the series, so I think the Nets are done. Michael and Peter still think there's a shot. What do you say?
Well, I mean, you know, I know it's not a must-win because it's not an elimination game, but it is a must-win. It's a must-win on so many levels, and I know that Ben Simmons isn't playing in that game, but I look at it as if I'm Ben Simmons, and Nash said it would be up to him, right? Then how is he not saying, I'm playing in this game?
Right, if you could play Tuesday, you could play Saturday. Right.
Oh, my God. You know, honestly, like this is, I think, also a microcosm of what the Nets have become. They have become a franchise that, like, the Lakers, there's too many people in charge. With the Nets, I don't know who's in charge. Like, no one makes a decision around here. And that's the problem. I would be looking at him if I was a teammate in that locker room. And I'm watching him warming up and all that stuff. And so it's Saturday night versus Monday night. And we're basically facing – even if you win that game, it's still 1-2. Like, game four is even more of a must-win. Give me 10 minutes. Just show me I'm here. I'll give you a second quarter pocket where I can play a little bit. But I need to know that everybody's all hands on deck. And I don't want to hear, don't worry about it, when we're all whole again next year and there's nothing keeping Kyrie from playing and now Simmons is healthy. Boy, that's the time we're going to go for it, because the odometer on Kevin Durant just keeps dialing up.
Yep.
Now, I'm curious, Alan, just because, you know, how my mind works. So you know Kenny Atkinson better than I do. I like him a lot.
I know what you're going to ask.
Is he sitting there giggling to himself, rubbing his hands gleefully, seeing what's happening?
No. No, he's not built like that. Honestly, he's not built like that. They've got bigger fish to fry where he's coaching now. And I think for him, I don't see him as somebody that ever enjoys someone else's failure.
No,
I honestly, I don't know him to be that way. You and I, though, I think you and I both would be that way.
But we'd
both be fist pumping.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But I don't know why that would make somebody a bad guy. If he was rooting against them.
Oh, I didn't say it makes him a bad guy. I just knowing him at the root. First of all, he's got now a chance to win a ring as an assistant coach with Golden State. I mean, the door is open for them, especially with Booker's injury. So knowing him and how he is a workaholic, he's way too focused on what they're doing to even pay attention to, you know, his old team being down 0-2.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So, Alan, before we close with you, I want to, bring some sunlight into something to maybe deodorize it. But you said that Don was a bad teammate because he didn't support me yesterday. And Don really, he just ripped you. So now I'm going to give you a return to serve. Why did you think Don was a bad teammate? And were you surprised at the vitriol that he had going back at you?
What I'm surprised at is you shared a private conversation publicly, Michael.
You don't even know you're dealing with.
Well, wait, let's really lift the curtain. You said he's a bad teammate, and then I said, can I say that on the air? Nothing for 2 hours. So I just said it. I figured that was okay.
Kids, hockey practice, a lot going on in his life.
True story, because you guys know I consume the show in large amounts, especially in my long commute home during traffic. I got a phone call right after that moment where and Don, I love you. I did feel like that caller was a nozzle, Peter, if I may use your word.
Please, go ahead.
And you had an opportunity to stick up for your teammate, and instead you almost seemed to kind of leave it out there. Like, it's all right. And I felt, in that moment, I felt attacked myself being a friend of all of you.
Well, this was the...
And I let Michael know that. I was going to then text you, but then a phone call came in that I had to be on, and that was it. And the moment was lost.
I pride myself in being a great teammate. Not a good teammate, a great teammate.
Wow.
And that,
not
but,
good, great.
However, being a good teammate and great teammate means sometimes you put the show above feelings. And I supported Jonathan because I thought Michael was a lot off base, taking the Cole criticism so personally. I was saving Michael and the show.
I think Alan brought up some salient points.
He was with the Yankees. He was with the Yankees.
He's not offending you.
I mean.
But you know what, though? It is true, though, when you do get those people that think they got you on something, and then you just ask them to just make a simple, like, well, wait, and then he says, was he on the team? Well, what the hell are you calling me for then? Was he on the team? Now your credibility is shot. So that where I really thought you'd go, Don. But now I've got to get – Anthony, please send me the clip now of Don ripping me because I now need to hear this. I didn't know that happened.
It's unfortunate.
And destroyed you,
Alan.
This
might have to be discussed.
No, I'll repeat it to your face. I said, screw you.
He said,
what
screw
I said.
You. Yeah, he said, screw you.
But I also said that you're an exceptional talent and should know better. That's good radio.
You see how he cleaned that up?
Well, those are both.
I ain't clean it up. Repeat it. Screw you, Peter. How are you cleaning that up?
You can't. The mess is there. Sorry doesn't fix the lamp. The milk is out of the lamp.
Out of the udder. don't mess up on
that. It was
No, I like that one better. That's way better.
Milk is out of the lamp.
It was intentional, but it's okay.
The milk's out of the lamp, really. Who's apologizing?
Wow.
I don't know. Say what you want about me. I'm the biggest fan of this show, so I'll continue to listen despite Don hating me at this point. All I know is that I do need your support, though, for Bart and I in this 2-on-2. And you guys should know it's not me guarding Jay Will now. I'm taller than Key. I have to guard Key. It's Bart, who is a defensive stalwart, my Pro Bowler, who will be guarding. And remember, he's from Detroit. He's from those Pistons days. He's guarding Jay Will. And I'm just throwing it out there. There may or may not be some Jay Will rules being applied.
What do you mean?
When it comes to our defense,
he's going to try to punish
Jay.
I was going to say, what NBA era are we playing in with this?
We're Oakleying.
Well, again, if it's 2-on-2, just understand, it's not like you can foul out. Think about that for a minute.
So he could commit assault, is what you're saying,
Alan. Foul out 2-on-2. Yes. And I think we've seen Bart do that. Just check the YouTube of Bart sacking Ben Roethlisberger, and maybe that's something that Jay Will should be aware of.
That was a long time ago.
Wow.
Can't Wait was a long time ago. Ask Jet fans.
He's not even a good teammate for the whole station. You know what I mean?
Well, but
it's amazing that I can't even get a little bit of support, Don.
No, but I'm supporting really the two other guys on the station. Right?
Yeah, but one of them you don't even
like,
Don.
I can't remember the – Who?
I'm going to tell you that there's one I have no use for. Try to guess which one. But I'm not going to give you the answer, and it's not Allen. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
But one of the other three I have no use for.
Well, I'll narrow it down for the people.
No, good. You think you know, but you don't.
Oh, I know who it is. I know everybody that you hate, including myself.
No, there's a difference between hate and have no use for. I don't hate anybody.
Okay, Gandhi.
Allen, last question for you. Have you ever considered throwing a water bottle at Mike Tyson on an airplane?
Yeah, I don't think that's a good career move for anyone.
No.
But it certainly has turned into a really good – now, the funny thing is Saturday I'll be on a JetBlue flight, so I'm wondering if this just becomes a thing now. You know, this is what we do.
They just toss bottles. Yeah,
so
nice.
Now, if someone throws a bottle at me, Peter, I mean, am I okay then to go, you know, a quick two-piece on them?
Yeah,
you are. Now, is that considered etiquette now on a plane?
That's a great question.
Well, we're now in a world where it's okay to flip people off. Tim Anderson did it the other day in Cleveland, and Mike Tyson. Yeah, if you could throw bottles, I guess you could throw fists.
It's assault, isn't it?
That's assault, brother.
It's both ways it's assault. Yours is self-defense.
We asked the question. I need all three of you to answer a question for me. We asked the question. Now, Jimmy Butler went for 45 points the other night and said afterwards that he was playing spades and listening to music, and someone asked him, what were you listening to? He got you so fired up. He said, Backstreet Boys. Now, you think he's making that up, but he's not. In fact, if you see his Heineken commercials, he's singing Hall & Oates and Hootie and the Blowfish.
Love it.
He likes a different kind of music. So we asked everybody, is there like a you know, an embarrassing song that if you heard alone in the car, you sing in top of your lungs, but if somebody else was around, you would never even admit to know the song.
Of course.
So we were all doing it on the show. We got a ton of calls on it. So could each of you maybe provide that for me? Because I would love to hear it.
Well, you have to listen. Sounds like a great tease.
Yeah, it's a great tease. We'll come back and do it. But I already gave you my answer. So we'll hear from Donna. Peter.
Yeah,
I texted, I think I love you by the Partridge Family. I would proudly sing that in a karaoke.
Tremendous
bar.
Answer.
Yeah. I was going to say, you proudly talk answer. About it all the time.
Love that song. I could sing a little right now, but we're right up against
these
it.
These are three people that are not easily embarrassed, Allen.
Allen, fair God point. Bless you.
I love you.
All the best, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye, Al.
Love you too, Don.
All right, we have a little bit of a giveaway when we come back, so stay tuned for that. And then we have ENN, Kayla Greco-Rosenberg, and you, Han, too, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.